traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Do you carry a handgun with you?
No,
I don't. No, you don't.
I don't. The way I look at it is, if I'm out there trying to kill an animal and in turn it kills me,
fair game.
That was just the way it went down.
Fair play.
Yeah,
yeah.
Reading all these tweets right now, dude.
Oh, on the flat earth?
Dude, it's nonstop, man. We did it, bro. We did something good.
Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. If you're not subscribed, do I even need to say it? Are you fucking good? Hit that subscribe button. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, wherever you listen and watch, view podcasts. We do an extended audio Q&A with the guests after the visual is done that you can only find on Spotify and iTunes, any listening platforms. But yeah, you guys know we just released our Flat Earth documentary.
The reviews are in.
Bro, really good. The click-through rate is incredible. 40,000 comments, 1.5 million views, 50-minute piece. Audience retention is high. I just don't see how we can lose this.
It's only been 12 hours.
Yeah.
What is there, like, any kind of award for YouTube? Like maybe like the Streamies? Is that one?
Or the Streamies. Can we submit ourselves for Streamies for like some sort of best documentary? I'm not saying that like because I think it's great. Although I do. I mean, people really seem to love it.
What do you think about all the people who are waiting for like some like carbon copy of Shane Dawson stuff to come out? And they're just sitting there right now with their dicks in their mouth.
I think a lot of people on the internet are sitting there right now with their dicks in their mouth.
Duped.
Yeah.
Duped.
By the way, keep commenting. Let us know what you think. We might do a review video on it. But more importantly, we're here on Impulsive. So let's do podcast stuff.
Yeah, let's do podcasts. We probably got a dope guest. We always do.
As usual, yeah. We've managed to secure the bag. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing our guest. He is an Under Armour athlete, a backcountry bow hunter, a mountain marathon runner, and a real man's man. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Cameron Haynes. I broke out the plaid for this one, Cameron.
Thanks, guys.
I got my denim on for this one, Cameron.
I see that. You're a real mountain man. You got plaid.
I know, bro.
It's Gucci plaid.
I see that.
Don't give him too much credit.
I see that also.
I was sitting on the couch this morning, just strumming on the guitar. And by the way, I never wear like this outfit, just a straight Midwest outfit. Evan comes down, our roommate. He goes, "The fuck is wrong with you?" I was like, "Yo, I'm getting it. I broke out the plaid." So, yo, good to see you.
Good to meet you guys.
Yeah. You too, man. Thank you for coming to good old Encino, California.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm from Oregon.
Can you silence your phone?
Why do you always do that, bro?
Oregon, yeah?
Yeah, Eugene, Oregon. Yep.
I've been there once.
You have.
Beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah.
Why were you there?
Oh, looks like I did something good. The controversial YouTuber did something good. I was there because there was a kid who has the same name as me, a child, baby infant child. And his parents could not afford his medical bill because he had some sort of problem and they were fearing for his life. Hmm. So I traveled there and I paid their medical bill to save little baby Logan Paul.
Is that serious?
Yeah.
Wait, he had both names?
His name was Logan Paul. That's why it was like, I don't know, it's carry on the name type thing. And
wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
That's generous.
But I heard you talking to my dad, who, by the way, connected us.
Yeah.
Greg Paul sitting over there.
You want to hit him real quick, Andre?
Shout out Greg. Maybe show Greg Paul
There is GP in the flesh. With the Maverick. Yeah, you probably just switched out of the RMBO on the way over here.
You traitor. But yeah, he connected us.
Yep.
And I heard you talking to him out there. And people nervous? Or are you nervous to come on this show? You're pretty controversial.
I'm not nervous. But yeah, when I was talking about coming on here, it's like, people I'm your dad's age. So yeah. It's like your demographic is probably a little younger. So my kids, I'm like, "Do you guys know who Logan Paul is?" They're like, "Oh yeah." I mean, they know.
Oh, shit.
People my age, if they know anything, it's like, isn't that kid that's pretty controversial? And I'm like, hey, whatever. I mean,
yeah,
you know, we were all young and my whole thing is I love exposing people to my world, and that's archery and bow hunting. And so I thought, you know, when I was your age, bow hunting was a huge part of my life and changed my life and gave me direction. So I like to share it when I can.
You're like the dead shot of bow hunters.
Yeah.
You don't miss, right?
No, everybody misses. I mean, I think
you used to miss.
Yeah. Well,
I heard you can hit like 5 shots in a row from 1,000 yards away or something
like that. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
What my dad said.
Roughly.
Something like that.
pretty accurate stats. We're the number one podcast in the world. We don't really make up numbers here. It's all about algorithms.
Where did that come from? Cause I did hear that and I was going to, you know, I'm buddies with Rogan. So I didn't know if he knew he was not at the top anymore.
I think the easiest way to explain it is just like a mixture of both algorithmic science and also just like high-end data. And so, you know, you'll see numbers about Rogan and other people, but at the end of the day, I mean, we've done the research. And so,
So it's
yeah, it's proprietary. We can't really divulge a lot of the
yeah. That's a hell of a title though.
Yeah, I mean thanks, that's, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations to the fans for bringing us here. It's really honestly incredible. And you are tight with Rogan.
Yeah.
You're like really tight. Didn't you take him on his first bow hunt?
Yeah. Yep, we did.
And what was that like?
It was just like this. It was I think he sent out a tweet and he said, "Hey, you know, to me, are you ever in LA, you want to come in talk about training and bow hunting?" And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. I mean, it's Joe Rogan, right?
Yeah,
of course. He's the legend.
Of course.
And so I went there and much like today, I took him a Hoyt bow, same brand I shoot, and got him set up just like I did you today. And, you know, from then on, we started talking. I'm like, hey, he'd hunted before just a couple times with a rifle. And I'm like, would you be interested in going on a bow hunt for bear? And he was like, yeah, hell
really?
Yeah, let's do it.
So how long ago was that?
That was probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Damn.
Yeah. So that was his first bow hunt was bear up in Alberta.
And when you say bow, you mean a crossbow? Is it a crossbow, bow
no,
and
compound.
Air? Compound bow.
Okay, so
cool.
You pull
Can
the
you
bow
explain?
Back. Yeah, you pull the bow back and then you release the string. You know, a crossbow. I've never even actually shot a crossbow. I know
never?
You. No, never. I know you have.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
right.
That's why this is also interesting because, you know, my dad being from Ohio, man's man himself, me also, I still have that side of me that I hold very near and dear to my heart.
Everybody's got it in there. It's deep in there. So, some it's deeper than others,
yeah.
But it's in there for
every You should have seen
man.
The month when this kid went vegan. It was like watching just like a fish out of water, dude. He hated every second of it, man.
No.
Our vegan friend isn't here. Normally we have Spencer. We're still missing you, Spencer.
Yeah,
but,
miss you, Spence.
Yeah, man.
He died probably, right? Because of vegan.
We don't know. The cameraman's vegan too. I don't know at what second he's gonna fall over. He could keel over at any second, dude.
Hey, if you need to catch, you might have to catch him.
So sorry. Andre doesn't think it's funny at all.
Oh. Yeah, he does. He's a good sport.
But yeah, I grew up hunting.
Mm-hmm.
My dad introduced me to the world of hunting. And I actually did drop a doe with a crossbow when I was like, I think 10.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of response that gets because I've mentioned I've grown up hunting before.
Right. Never mentioned what that meant.
What that meant. Yeah. I mean, man, especially now with social media and everyone has a voice and the people on the left, especially, I find liberals they're very vocal about hunting. Yeah. And not to jump around too much.
No.
But
the thing is 97% of Americans eat meat. You know, to me as a hunter, it's like, at least we're honest about the meat we're eating. We're like, hey, an animal died for this. Some people they'll go and they get steaks and burgers or whatever. And they don't want to accept the fact that an animal actually died. Whereas hunters are like, hey, yeah, doing this, I'm killing the animal. I'm taking it back from my family. And just like 97% of Americans, we're eating meat, but we're doing the killing ourselves instead of going down to the grocery store. And, you know, essentially you're hiring somebody to kill for you if you're buying it.
It's so, such an inch. Cause if you really look at it, I mean, even the facts that Spencer has given us about the meat industry and the way the animals are killed, slaughterhouses, et cetera, like, if you buy me, essentially you're a proponent of,
or even you're, and I speak from a place of never having hunted, just to give you some background.
Right.
I'm kind of middle aisle when it comes to politics for what that matters. But,
yeah.
I had come on in hoping to kind of like, channel what some of his thoughts are. But when I even think about it, like you are the responsible meat consumer. Now, does everything you hunt get eaten?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I hunt all fall and that's what my family, you know, I have 3 kids and, you know, that's what we eat all year and still get beef also. But, you know, if I am going to buy beef, it's going to be from a place that I feel comfortable about how they, you know, ranch.
Yeah.
And, but for the most part, it's everything that I kill. And if somebody needs the meat more than me, if there's a family that needs meat, I give it to them. You know, I feel like hunters have always been providers. And so that's, I take a great pride in providing for others if they need the meat more than I do.
Yeah.
But yeah.
My dad growing up, we had a rule, cause we had a cabin in Southern Ohio and we'd always just run around and with, you know, like I hunted with like a blowgun sometimes, mm-hmm. a blow dart, mm. like a slingshot, rabbits, squirrels, birds, like everything. But the rule was I'll tell that story in a second. The rule was if we ever, dropped an animal, we would have to eat all of it, mm-hmm. and more so even we'd use the bones for stuff. We would make sure it was being used to its fullest potential instead of just taking a life. That was our rule.
Yeah.
That was kind of the balance we tried to find.
Is that the common practice with hunters that you find? Do you think that the majority of hunters in the country or even abroad are following those kind of respectful guidelines? Because I've read a lot about your dedication to mm-hmm. respectful hunting and practices. Do you think that that's the general rule or?
No, I mean, no group of people is perfect.
Right.
And no group of people is going to do it exactly the same way. I mean, you know, I think hunters, we get beat up probably more than we deserve. You know, I mean, you in Hollywood here and you look at movies and the hunters.
But here's probably
generally
rough,
the bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're never showing the honorable aspect of hunting. So, but for me and the people that I spend time with and what I talk about, it's, I mean, just like this hat here says train, hunt, provide, honor. That's what I do. Train, hunt, provide if people need it and honor the animal. Does every hunter do that? Probably not. But you can't lump one group into all a category like that. So I think, you know, for the most part, I think most hunters do it right and want to stand for the right things. And, I mean, it's just, like I said, it's an honest way to eat meat, but it's also a way to connect out in the mountains. You know, I mean, we get so inundated with just easy living, anything we want, we have. Mm-hmm. And, out there, I just think it's, you know, I mean, you really connect, you learn more about yourself. You're in the mountains. That's where I feel more at home than some, you know, a place like this.
I could tell with a beard like that.
But it's all good. You guys need to get out in the mountains some more, right?
God dang right we do.
Sure. And
in fact, we're going tomorrow to Kauai.
Hawaii. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. We'll do some hiking up there. Probably won't do any hunting, but we'll do some hiking and kind of connect a little bit.
Man, I kind of stopped, and not to break your heart, Father, but I fell out of love with hunting.
Yeah.
And when I dropped my first deer, it was a doe, muzzleloader, you know, one shot, 100 yards plus. Like I don't have, bro. I'm a little bit of a sharpshooter.
That's pretty good.
I cried for the first time in my life of happiness.
Yeah.
Little 10-year-old Logan cried tears of joy because of this elation I felt. And I didn't know why. And then 4 or 5 years later, I started getting uninterested. Mm-hmm. So what is it about hunting that has kept you interested for 50 plus years?
The challenge is hard. It is hard. You know, people think, you know, and people who don't know hunting think that you kill something every time you go out. That's just not how it works, especially with the bow. Success rate. The thing I like to hunt most is big bull elk, and, success rate on bull elk is 10%. So 90% of the guys fail after hunting all year. So it's 10% of the people that do the things the right way, that are hunting hard. They're the ones that have elk meat in their freezer. The other guys, hey, it's better luck next year.
Are they failing in finding, or are they failing in actually executing the kill? Like what's the failure rate due to?
It's a combination. People fail for different reasons, but first of all, you find the animal. We're in the mountains, so it's not easy.
Are you stalking? Or are you waiting?
I do.
Okay.
Some people call because you hunt the rut, which is the breeding season for elk. So you can bugle or cow call, and the bull, if it's at the right scenario, the bull will come in to bow range, hopefully. So first you have to find them. It's big country. It's in the mountains.
I mean, I just benchmark. Like, I'm just imagining if I'm an elk and I'm just like, I'm trying to fuck, bro. It's mating season.
It's one time a year they do it.
And then I just get shot in the heart.
In the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would suck.
It's rough. You know, life in the wild is rough because an old bull is 10 years old. So these things, you know, we got it pretty easy here. We live to what, 70, 80. Life's good.
Yeah.
You got,
I'm going for 150, by the way.
You got nursing homes and everything else. You know, life in the wild, it's once they are done breeding, they're past their breeding prime, they're getting weak. They're getting eaten by predators, killed by lions, eaten by wolves. And it's like, yeah. So it's, I hear what you're saying about, hey, I'm trying to mate, right?
Yeah.
And man, I'm going to get killed. But life just in general out there is tough.
I saw your quote. Can you go down a little bit? I was trying to pull up this page, but I saw your quote from, I think it was it Roosevelt or was it?
Yeah, probably Roosevelt.
And it was.
I did see that. That was cool.
Most wildlife dies of violence, starvation.
Yeah.
And so in a way, especially if you are, I'm assuming you're identifying the older animals.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
okay?
That's my goal.
So you potentially, and it's, I'm really just trying to understand a lot of mm-hmm. this stuff. You potentially are giving them an easier way out than they may have had without it.
Yeah.
Or more respect for humane even.
Yeah. Man is compassionate. Animals are not compassionate. I mean, if you've looked on like nature is metal and they have wild animals, it's on Instagram and they show like how brutal animals are.
Oh yeah.
And it'll show stuff in Africa and those animals will basically eat antelope or gazelles alive. You know, so the wild dogs.
What
or
is the predator for the bull elk, which is your.
It'd be lions. Lions? And wolves. Yeah, mountain lions.
Mountain lions.
Oh, okay, okay.
Mountain lions. Okay, yeah. Okay. So, and that's what, you know, like bears will follow. So let's see, when a cow elk gets pregnant, it's going to drop its fawn in the spring. Bears will follow the herd around waiting for that fawn or the calf to drop.
Son of a bitch.
And eat right when the calf drops, the bear will get in there and kill before it even has done anything. It's dead and the bear's eating it. That's how life in the wild works. So whereas on the flip side is man, it has compassion. My goal is to be a merciful hunter. I practice all year. So when I get that chance to make the shot, it's a perfect shot. It's through the lungs. The animal goes and it's dead in 10 seconds. Whereas if it's starvation or it's being killed by a predator, that's an elongated process of it's going to be in pain and it's going to be frightened and it's going to be, you know, having a bear kill you or a wolf nipping at your hamstrings where you're trying to run away. That's not, I'd much rather take an arrow through the lungs, right?
Can you describe the practice that you take up in the rare case that you miss a kill shot? Like what's that look like?
Yeah, so if you don't hit it perfect, an arrow kills by hemorrhage, a bullet kills by shock. Mm-hmm. I only bow hunt. So what that means is I'm following a blood trail. So I'm using razor sharp broadheads. I want to get it in the chest cavity. I feel like if the arrow goes in the chest cavity, I'm going to get it. If I'm going to find the animal eventually and kill it. If I made a poor shot and it's just grazes off the animal, high, low, whatever, animal's probably not going to, I always think that if the animal is going to die, I'm going to get it. Mm-hmm. So there's not one out there suffering. It's if I'm so far off and it doesn't happen often, but this is bow hunting, so it's not easy.
Yeah.
But the animal is going to be a superficial wound. They're used to getting jabbed and antlers, you know, and different things going on. They live out in the wild every single day. They're pretty damn tough, right? Mm-hmm. So if you just graze one, it's going to be good to go.
Okay, but all right. Say you graze a bear.
Yeah.
The bear's trying to fuck you, graze a bear. You kind of sort of miss, maybe hit the top of it. It's hit its ass or something. And the bear gets mad and it attacks you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking like Revenant style, Leonardo DiCaprio scene.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting attacked. You, Cameron Haynes, are getting attacked by a bear. What do you do?
That's a rough one.
Like, yeah. Is that it? Is
that's
it,
a rough one.
Since you don't use a gun, man.
No, you know, and that's never happened. I'm trying to think of all the bears. I've killed a lot of bear and they've all been one arrow kills, perfect shots. But there's
not everyone's perfect like you, Cameron.
Right.
I'm saying
do you carry a handgun with you?
No.
As well? No, you don't.
I don't. The way I look at it is if I'm out there trying to kill an animal and in turn it kills me.
Fair game.
That was just the way it went down.
Fair play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I mean, you'll see on my Instagram, there's situations where like in the spring, I bear hunt. I'm going to go up to Alberta. And if it's not the animal I want to kill, I mean, I just don't want to kill for no reason. So last spring, there was a sow and she had some cubs and she was coming in And so I just stand up and I have a knife and I'm like, no, telling her, no, I don't. Cause my buddy was sitting there, John Rivet, who I bear hunt with a lot. And he did have a gun and yeah, we could have killed the bear and she got very close, but I was just like, no, stop like this. And she was just like looking like a dog would look. And you can kind of look at animals because they're all body language. They can't talk. So they're body language and they're reading your body language.
Yeah.
And if they think they're dominant over you, they're coming. So if I'm
you up, told the bear no.
Yeah.
And it listened.
Yeah. It's on Instagram. But, and she's just like standing looking, taking,
should have tried to sit and roll over.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Sit.
Want a treat?
Spin.
Not quite that good. But, the point is, maybe some people would have killed that bear because it got so close. Yeah. And you're like, you don't know what they're going to do because, you know, it's feet away. But we just don't, especially me, I don't just want to kill for no reason. I want to kill the right animal. I want to do it the right way. And I don't want to, I figured if I would have killed that sow for being too close, then her cubs would have died too.
Sow.
That's a female bear. Bear.
Got it.
Female bear.
No, nothing.
I lost my train of thought. Oh yeah. Cause we had, I think it was here in California. Some guy was running.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you saw this. Yeah.
And a mountain lion attacked him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he like grappled with the mountain lion
killed it with its bare hands.
It in an arm bar and then choked it.
Yeah. Off. Yeah.
It was a baby. We found out after.
It was whatever, but it's, that did happen. I saw that with California. California is tough on lions. You know, you haven't been able to hunt lions in California for 50 years. There's a bunch of lions out there and people think, well, we don't see them because we're, you know, we don't see them at Starbucks. Are they extinct? No, there's a ton of them. They're out there killing deer and elk and they're killed. I mean, a lion will kill, I don't know, at least one animal a week to survive because they like the fresh stuff. Bear will eat rotten stuff.
Really?
Lions like fresh kill. So lions are out there and they can devastate the deer herd. That's why it's, and then they're very territorial. So the more lions they get, the more they get pushed into town. And then that's where you get those conflicts.
Attacks, yeah.
Because they don't go over, as I said, territory. So they don't overlap. Like a dominant male, another one won't go in his territory. So he has to keep going to where there's no lions. Well, eventually that gets to town. So it's California. They've outlawed legal hunting, but they still are hiring government workers to kill these lions. So there's still lions being killed. There's just no money going to fish and game because they're hiring hitmen to do it, basically.
Huh.
Who I'm sure don't eat. Would you eat lion meat?
Yeah. Yeah. They're not probably.
Is any of the hunting you do ever for, like, do you feel like hunting is a solution to some of this overpopulation, better solution?
Yeah.
One of the big things my dad would argue when we were younger about mm-hmm. a deer in Ohio were being overpopulated. And there's a crazy number of car crashes that happened because of deer.
People are dying.
Literally taking their lives because a deer would run out in traffic.
Yeah. And so that's what people fail to realize. They'll say, well, nature will take care of it. You know, I mean, nature will balance it out. No, man has always hunted. It's only now that people are saying, well, you don't need to hunt. It's like, no, man's always been part of the equation. So without men out there or women out there, but man, it just as a species killing animals, it's going to get screwed up. It doesn't work.
I think there's a really fine line between a proper hunter like you, someone who's doing it right, and ethical standards of mm-hmm. hunting. And then you get into like the slaughtering of, in a different way, hunting sharks mm-hmm. in the ocean. People who are poaching rhinos in Africa.
Yeah,
and
no, that's. And that's not hunting.
Well,
that's
I think people
lump them together.
Synonymize them.
Yeah.
Synonymize?
I'm synonymize? Down with it. I like it. Check it.
Synonymize?
It was actually my next question too. Where do you draw the line in terms of what is huntable to you and what is off limits? You know, like I want to, like, you would never be in Africa hunting elephant or
synonymize. Or,
I wouldn't.
I'm good to go.
Basically it's not for me to decide what's ethical. It's for the fishing game in that area. The departments, the professionals with boots on the ground to say, hey, this is how many animals we have. This is the carrying capacity of the land. This is how many we need to kill out of there every year. And so they determine that, not me.
That said, I think they have determined in a lot of cases that there's hunting going on of animals that are in completely insufficient quantities, like your animals that are being, that could potentially go extinct if they continue to be hunted in Africa and other countries.
Yeah. It's hard to sit here and really figure it out, because there's some areas, so people say elephants, you know, elephants are going to be extinct and whatever. Well, in some areas there's too many elephants. So you can't just say elephants, just all elephants.
Yeah.
There's certain areas. It's just like, would you kill grizzly bears in California? No, there aren't any. But does that mean you shouldn't hunt them in Alaska?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Would you say, at least could we agree that there has to be some animal out there that is low quantity that's still being hunted? Like, I mean, because animals continue to go extinct. I mean, they could be. Yeah. Go,
elephant numbers have dropped by 62% over the last decade, and they could be mostly extinct by the end of the next decade. An estimated 100 African elephants are killed each day by poachers seeking ivory, meat, and body parts, leaving only 400,000 remaining.
Right. So let me just explain that to you. So the poachers are killing 100 a day. A legal hunter will go there and they'll pay $100,000 to kill an elephant. Right. And it's usually a rich white guy. So we get beat up for that, but it's those guys going over there paying $100,000. Well, that money goes to protecting the rest of the herd. So you're going to take one old bull out that's past its breeding prime. And sometimes these old bulls are actually killing other inferior animals because all they care about is they're dominant. So rhinos will kill other rhinos. Elephants will kill other elephants. And they're not really worried about balancing things out. If a hunter goes over there, kills this old bull, that might actually be a detriment to the population because they're not breeding and they're killing. That money will go to help anti-poaching efforts. So these big concessions in Africa, the anti-poaching efforts are paid for by legal hunting. There's one in particular that was a huge concession in Tanzania. Well, because of the import ban President Obama had on bringing animals back.
Yeah, that Trump rolled back.
Right.
Yeah.
From Africa. Guys couldn't go there and hunt. If they can't hunt and bring their trophies back, they're not going to do it. So that big concession went out of business. When that went out of business, there was no money to pay for anti-poaching because there's no legal hunting. And so the poachers came in, instead of killing one bull, one target bull legally and protecting the rest of them, they were gone. Poachers came in and just wiped everything out.
I guess my qualm with that is it seems nearsighted to say that the only solution to protecting the greater herd is through the murder, the hunting of others. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's always struck me as this strange way for old rich white dudes to get their nut off to go and hunt large animals that have symbolic meaning to so many people across the world. And I'm not gonna go crazy. Spencer would have, and I want to just channel some of his thoughts, and I'm not gonna come out and make believe I'm some sort of pussy who's crying over it.
Yeah, yeah.
No. But at the same time, I mean, these animals are majestic, beautiful creatures. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question is, like, is there some other way that it could be done as opposed to like these, my guess is these are the same dudes that are going to whorehouses. Like, these dudes are just looking for fucking quick thrills to get their nut off because they got so much fucking dough. They're tired of their old wife and they want to just go find some cheap way to get a nut.
Yeah.
And so they go and they shoot these beautiful creatures. And so, like, I guess, like, is there some other way that money could be raised? Like could the groups that are anti these groups raise enough money to you know, to counteract the money loss? I don't fucking know.
They could, yeah. But
that's a good point.
It's good. And a lot of people do lump those same type of hunters together. I mean, I'm a hunter. I haven't hunted elephant, but I've been over there. I've hunted lion. I didn't kill one because I didn't find an old lion. So, and I'm a bow hunter. I had one at 68 yards. It didn't offer me a good shot, so I didn't kill one, but I wouldn't put myself into that description that you had. So it's not, just like I said, I mean, one group, you can't lump everybody together. Yeah. But I get what you're saying, because a lot of people who don't hunt would say, yeah, those are the guys. Those are the bad guys, right? And there is another way. There probably is another way. The people won't put their money where their mouth is.
Facts.
That's all there is to it. Hunters will. So at least hunters, they're giving that money. And I gave that money. I didn't kill anything.
Right.
So people will go over there and say, well, you can do photo safaris. You can't do, I mean, yeah, you're not going to get that money. Yeah. You're not going to have enough money to pay for the anti-poaching efforts that it requires. And what people don't understand is that those photo safaris, they go the pretty much exact same path every day. And to get the animals by the road, and I talked about Nature's Metal videos, they're videoing from trucks. So to get those animals, the lions, by the road, they're killing animals to bait them. So animals are still dying.
Question for you. Logan's got a picture here. I think he wants to pull up of a rather large Donald Trump sitting there lying.
This is the shit that social media erupts about. And this one is especially bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, let's be honest, this man is not a fucking predator.
Yeah.
He's not.
He probably had to get wheeled in on some sort of device to even line that shot up.
Yeah, that doesn't look good. It doesn't look good at all for the optics as hunters.
I guess, and maybe that's even a question I have too. Like, is there a way to just not take the fucking picture? Like bring the thing home, eat the meat, do whatever. Mm-hmm. I guess another question I have is, we go out on like conspiracy tips here sometimes. Yeah. And this isn't a conspiracy, but like, say, you know, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Purge, but say in 10 years or 15 years, people said, you know, the homeless population has gotten so bad in Los Angeles. It's caused a major problem. So we're actually going to allow rich white men to pay $250.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
$1,000 to go hunt homeless people to clean it up. And that money will then be used to house the rest of the homeless population.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah, I'm
just saying, like, is there a line? Like, these things are beautiful. Fucking look at that thing, dude. It's just, no, I don't know.
I agree. They're not human, though. You know, they're not human. Yeah. So
we got, and I understand it's a line to cross. And we had that whole conversation with the vegan.
Yeah, we had a vegan on
who said that squirrels' lives should be valued as much as humans. And we got into it there.
No. I mean, the whole trophy shot with the animal, it's really hard for somebody who doesn't hunt to get it. You're sitting there, you got a big grin, you got a dead animal there. If you haven't hunted and you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a tough one because.
But even like the ones that aren't as easy to attack, there's like this one. This is the one I was looking for. Like this pretty girl, pretty little girl.
Yeah.
She's like been, God dang it. It's technological difficulties.
She's been in the news a lot.
Like she gets eaten alive on social media. And honestly, like probably rightfully so. Her arrows are like pink and she's like, I don't like, nothing about this seems right.
What social media likes to do is they go after the girls. That's really hard for people to stomach. The pretty girl with the beautiful dead animal, that one. And then the overweight white guy, because people just like you, rich, those are the bad guys. This one. And then the rich white guy, those are the two that are like nobody can even hardly have an argument against, you know what I mean? So it's low hanging fruit basically.
Is there any
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups? Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I'm sure you're in the community,
Yeah,
Is there any sort of you do know her?
Yeah.
Okay, so is there any deterrent? Does she see the hate on social media and say, I'm not going to hunt anymore? Or at least I will no longer take pictures with my trophy and post it on social media.
Yeah. You know, it's I don't know. Kendall, I don't know. I mean, I know her, but I don't know what her stance is on it now, but it has changed because it used to be where we would, as like a small group of hunters, everybody understood. So you'd show, hey, I killed this buck. You know, so I was like, hey, you get your buck this year? And like, yeah, got it. Here you go. Now we say, hey, I got my buck, and it's on social media, and it's out there for everyone. It's for the vegan, your vegan buddy. It's for, you know, people. Like, I get death threats all the time.
I'm sure.
So it's like, yeah, you have, we just have to be better about it. We have to be, so I talk about the reverence I have for the animals. I don't show as many, like, as I would just show my buddy, like, hey, kill this big bull. I don't show those big smiles.
I noticed,
you
know,
I mean, we just have to get better, because if we want to protect what we have, and also there is a lot of benefits to hunting. The North American wildlife model is why there's more big game animals in the United States than there was 100 years ago. That's because of hunting. And that's because of money that, hunting, drives to conservation. So it's there. We're trying to do the same thing, or Africa's trying to do the same thing. We don't run it over there, but it's that same model. So if we want that to continue to work and the animals continue to thrive, we got to do a little better job at our marketing as hunters.
That's a great point. Yeah. Especially in the era of just social media.
And I don't think social media is for hunters. I don't think so either. That's not
unfortunately, unless there's like some, maybe a way for them to be in like a closed group, like some large closed private group. Of course, somebody will still infiltrate it. The pictures will still get out.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to put them out there, you either got to be ready for the backlash, or you got to have a good argument on, or, you know, to be able to sit. And the problem with social media is you don't have these long form discussions like this. You know, you can't really explain.
Oh, because people don't want to hear your side.
No.
They just want to attack you. They don't give a shit what you think.
No, they'll say they want to see my daughter's head on the wall, like the animal.
But don't listen to any of your.
No.
You've gotten comments like that?
Yeah. No, people just like, you know, a squirrel is just like, that's what people say. It's like, oh, you killed this. Well, we should kill your daughter then. It's like, okay.
How do you internalize that? That's rough.
You know how it goes. You know how social media is. People just talk shit. They get crazy. They think there's no repercussions. And this one kid actually said this crazy stuff. And he worked up at a municipal airport up in Canada. And I posted what he said to me.
Yeah.
And the mayor of the town, the people who ran the airport, he had to answer for that.
Oh yeah.
I mean, so
that's great.
And rightfully so. I agree.
Think about what you say. I mean, because he was threatening me, and then I'm worried about the people who I'm around. You know, I go to work.
Yep.
Is somebody going to come and do something crazy and hurt people who don't deserve it just because I'm around them? I mean, it's just not right.
I agree with you 100%. I think there's, it's childish, the rhetoric on both sides of the fence. Mm-hmm. And I want to hit this quickly. At least I've seen your support for Trump, obviously. And I've already started to kind of realize that you're quite a level-headed guy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just curious. He had a lot of criticism of McCain over the past couple of days that I found, nothing really shocks me with him anymore. Yeah. And by the way, like I hopefully at some point he'll be judged a little bit more on what he's done for the country versus what he said, because he'll never come back from what he said. It's a PR and just absolute disaster for the office in my eyes. Yeah. But just question for you, like, are there things he says? I'm sure you get pissed off by some of the things he says.
Yeah. There was especially start right out the gate. I was just like, can we just think about what we're tweeting?
Yeah.
And I didn't hear what he said lately about McCain, but just in general, anybody who's been a prisoner of war, I'm not going to talk shit about them ever.
Ever.
My son is in the army. So it's like the people who serve have so much of my respect, especially somebody who served his country and then also served his country in the political spectrum.
His whole life.
Right. It's just like, if you're going to give a guy a pass or just for whatever reason, just decide, you know what, maybe I'm just going to talk shit about somebody. How about
that
him?
Guy? And that would be the one. Yeah.
So I don't get that. I don't.
He said a couple days ago that he was responsible for giving the green light to McCain's funeral. And that he was never thanked for it. And that he doesn't like the guy. He never liked. And so it's like,
it's a no win.
It really is. Like, you're now saying that you never received a thank you from a dead man. Or his family, who was a prisoner of war and served the country for his entire life.
Yeah.
And so the level-headed Trump supporters that I sit with, which, by the way, there are some, mm-hmm. there's quite a few of them, right, out there.
He got elected.
Mm-hmm. not by all level-headed Trump supporters. I will say that. Let me preface that.
We're talking about big groups again.
For sure. But there are a lot of people that I speak with that, you know, whether they be business associates, whatever, mm-hmm. that all have that same kind of thought. Take the fucking dude's Twitter away, please. Yeah. Or like, give him a script or something, because a lot of his policies to, mm-hmm. you know, to the classically or to the currently understood point, some of the policies at least are benefiting the country.
Right yeah. Now. Yeah. The country's in a good spot right now. Not so much. I mean, there's challenges with different groups of people yeah. that they're more intensified now than they have been in a while. But as far as the country's health, it seems like it's, you know, money wise,
fiscally,
just, yeah. I mean, and where we are, I think you can argue this all day, but our standing amongst the other countries in the world, you know, the feeling was Obama was pretty passive and people thought we maybe were a weaker country. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's changed a little bit. I don't, the whole Twitter stuff and having, maybe an ego deal and maybe you didn't get invited to the funeral. So you're still harboring some ill will about that. And still, I mean, the man's dead. It's like, even the people like who I've supported him, how can you support that? How can anybody support it? So it's just like, it's a no win.
And there's a lot of people that still try to, which is and I think I'm on both sides. Like, that's the time when I have difficulty, because mm-hmm. you and I can sit down mm-hmm. with slightly opposing viewpoints, mm-hmm. by the way, like I'm not on either side like crazy, but we can have a conversation about
yeah.
it. I'm not going to call you fucking names.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm right. We're just talking about
yeah.
it. And
yeah.
I think that responsible political discourse mm-hmm. is so absent in the country right now. Like it's just such bullshit.
If you can talk, you can get through a lot, but yeah. people are just so divided and so on the far ends of the spectrum that they won't even talk.
Yeah.
You know, you're a racist Trump supporter yeah. or you're a, you know, a
pussy liberal, whatever.
Yeah. yeah. So it's just like, guys, no, it's the truth lies in between.
We had a
for sure.
Caitlin Bennett gun girl on here.
Yep.
You know who that is?
I think so. Yeah.
The Kent State gun girl. Do you, I know you're a bow hunter, but do you have an opinion on the whole gun situation here in America? Like, cause you don't hunt with.
But I have AR, guns.
Assault
I have
rifles. Guns.
Okay. I have pistols at the house and
for you protection know, purposes
yeah.
for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's it.
No.
Any rifles?
Yeah. My sons, they grew up rifle hunting. So bow hunting is very hard. So to get them
yeah.
kind of how you did too, out west, rifle hunting is where most people start.
Yeah.
And so we've had, you know, deer hunting rifles at the house and still do. And then also pistols, you know.
Are any of them semi-automatic?
No.
None are even semi-automatic at all?
No.
Oh, wow. So that's.
Most hunting rifles are
single shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have an opinion on the AR-10 semi-automatic rifle debate?
Extended magazine.
Yeah, because New Zealand just they had that yeah. Christchurch shooting.
Instant.
Yeah. In 3 days, semi-automatic instant. Rifles
banned.
Were banned. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, you know, I mean, it's the I go back to it's the person. If the person really wants to cause destruction, they'll figure out a way to do it. It's not so much the gun. I mean, it's you'll figure it out. I mean, there's been you can drive a truck into a crowd of people.
Yeah, which
you know
is,
what I mean.
Yeah, is
and so it's like it's the whole thing. It's just like you can't. If somebody's overweight, you don't take the spoon away and say that it's a spoon's fault. You know,
that said, I guess like my only contest for that. And I agree with you a lot. And I think that people need to just start being better to each other and finding out what's going on with the mental health problems
right.
and all that stuff is the core stuff.
Yeah.
You'll notice that on a lot of busy streets in New York City and LA, you see, concrete yeah, structures yeah. so that a car can't drive
right.
on the sidewalk, or like metal detectors. Mm-hmm. So you can't bring a handgun into court. Like, I think the argument of like, yo, it's all about the person. So let's not change the capacity of the magazine or mm-hmm. ability to to shoot rapidly through semi-automatic, whatever it is.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Is kind of lazy. Cause like, wouldn't you take at least some step to limit the damage? You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine if that dude up in fucking Vegas, right? Mm-hmm. Who was a psychopath and wanted
yeah.
to kill everyone on earth.
Yeah.
Had a single shot. Even
yeah.
Or even a semi-automatic handgun. Like
yeah.
say we did semi-automatic handguns, but single shot rifles. Mm-hmm. Like, do you really think he would have mowed down as many fucking people like loading one round
right.
at a time?
Or? Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
Do you have a concealed carry permit?
I don't. No. My
wife
does.
I think, your wife does.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting because,
which I support, by the way. I think people should be able to protect themselves.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to have a gun, know how to use it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. And so you get your concealed carry license, you're learning the ins and outs of the gun, how to handle it safely, you know, aside from taking on the responsibility of your own. And some people have guns and they don't really even know how they work, you know? And so that's not a good answer either.
Yeah.
I find, solace sort of in people who have concealed carry permits. Knowing that, say I'm in a new place or whatever, just exploring at the mall or whatever.
Yeah.
Again, God forbid.
Right.
There's some sort of mass shooting incident. I feel some solace in knowing there may be a hunter in the room or someone who has some experience with firearms to combat the bad guy.
Yeah, I mean.
But it's interesting because you don't hunt with rifles.
No.
Can you imagine you were getting targeted at the mall by some guy with like a AR-15 and he comes out with a fucking compound bow and just puts it through his fucking head?
That'd be a legend.
That'd be a legend. That'd be tough. But yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. It's like, in, you know, there's that old adage that a bad guy with a gun is only stopped by a good guy with a gun. Yeah. And in some cases that's true. I mean, and that does happen. And it's just sucks that we have to worry about it, you know, that people are that
evil. That's the bigger problem. Yeah.
That I just, and you know, we talk about the mental health thing and I get, and I don't know if you do too. I mean, your social media is huge, but there are people out there that are struggling and they don't know how to get help. They don't know where to get help. They ask me, you know, they're contemplating suicide or there's things they're going through. And I don't know, I'm a bow hunter. So I've had to go and do research and say, if somebody's reaching out to me for help, what can I tell them that's going to help? Just because I was getting so many of them. So it's indicative of what's going on out there. People are struggling.
Have you been able, I can relate completely. And he's not even able to like open up DMs because they refresh every second.
Right,
it's a whole nother world. But for me, I do read my messages and there's a lot of people in there struggling with mental health or addiction or whatever it is. And it's almost like when I was not on the show and before like any kind of social media, when people would reach out directly, friends of mine say I'm having a hard time, I put my all into it.
Yeah.
But can you imagine trying to have that one-on-one conversation with 50 people? We wouldn't have show. Nothing would happen. And so
I'm very nervous and scared for the future, Gen Z specifically. They did this study and kids are now basing their self-worth at a young age, like how much you value yourself on likes and comments.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that before horrible. Too.
Can you imagine being a third grader, fifth grader, and you value how much you love yourself based on what other people think of you?
Yeah.
Could be one of the most dangerous things I think that's happening
in
this country.
I think it's
or
sad.
In the world.
It's sad, but it's like, and so that's just, you know, there's always challenges. There's things that come up with different generations. Right now, that's a big one. And so I think, you know, I put up occasionally if people are contemplating suicide, here's the suicide helpline number.
As like a blanket story.
Yeah.
I love that.
And so I mean, I think, you know, as you're a leader. You know, you're a leader of this generation. You could maybe do that too at times.
So, I mean, we had the whole thing with Japan and we tried to, we succeeded in creating.
Is this a controversial
YouTuber? That's one of them. Yeah. But I mean, I feel we did a great job at combating it the best we could by creating the suicide PSA that we made that.
Yeah.
I met one of my great friends to this day, Kevin Hines, where, again, I text this dude every single day. He's out there spreading his message about anti-suicide. And
he's making the change. Like he's making the change.
We profiled him and we kickstarted what he is going to do and create serious change about kids believing in themselves. But
how old are you?
23.
Yeah. I mean, it's pressure for you too, to have that type of responsibility.
I think
responsibility. It's just because I'm thinking when I was 23, I couldn't sit here and do this. I mean, so you have my respect. Yeah. people make mistakes and people judge others on these mistakes. And I didn't see what caused the big controversy the first time, but I saw your apology to it. Mm. And I thought to myself, I'm like, you know, I don't, people look at you and envy you and envy what you have, but it's not always sunshine and rainbows. Oh, you know, God, what I mean? Yeah. And so
you're right.
You have my respect.
Thank you.
With just being insightful and trying to do the best you can do. I know it's not easy.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The biggest thing that we can do, and I come back to this time and time again, is just keep creating amazing content with amazing energy and provide a smile on people's face if I can. If I can do that, I've won.
Right.
I've won. If I can distract people from their day just slightly.
That's the goal.
Always been, that's one of the goals.
Yeah.
And now it's starting to evolve to actual impact, which I think we haven't talked about at all yet, but I think people will start to see over the next 3 to 6 months where we're finding these either individuals or groups that need awareness and assistance. Yeah. And I think we're going to start moving into that arena more, but he did a great job with the suicide awareness PSA.
Mm-hmm.
And to his point, there's probably small blankets we could put out that could just kind of address a lot of those messages, because there's so many people struggling out there.
I'm kind of just talking out loud just to say it. But I think one of the mistakes I made with the Suicide Be Here Tomorrow video was that I tried to act a little bit more like an expert than I should have.
Right.
I sort of took the reins on, I don't know if you saw, but I sort of took the reins on, an issue that I was still very much ignorant to.
Yeah.
I hate that word. Ignorant. I think it's just more just like undereducated.
They're synonymous, but you're right. Yeah. Ignorant has a very negative connotation. Because society's made ignorant. Ignorant doesn't always have to be a bad thing.
So on purpose.
I'm ignorant to astrophysics.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'm fucking stupid. I just have not studied space physics.
I can kind of relate to what you're saying because I've been involved in politics, not kind of by proxy a little bit. And then I got selected for this, it's like International Wildlife Conservation Council. So I'm back there with these politicians. Mm. That's not my world. I'm back there trying to make a difference, trying to do what I can. And people are going, "You're a fucking idiot. You fell for that?" And I'm like, "I did? I fell for what? I didn't even know what I fell for." So, but the point was I'm trying to do something positive. I have a voice. I'm trying to use my voice, not just for running and working out and bow hunting, but like, hey, maybe this can have a longer lasting effect on decisions we make. I'm trying. Some people see that as I'm failing because I don't know the ins and outs of politics. That's kind of where you were trying to do something good. Was it perfect? Do you know everything about it? No, but you're trying to move the needle in the right direction.
Exactly. And that's all you can do, man. And I'm glad to hear that you're doing that. I think a lot of the change that people are looking forward to happen in your world starts via legislation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's do something fun, huh?
I was just thinking that too. Wanted to also ask him about his workout, dude. How old are you now, if you don't mind saying?
51. Well, I used to say that I'm 10 years younger than I was just because it sounded better.
Yeah.
But then 41 is still old. So I'm like,
you got too old to be old.
Maybe I need to take 20 listen, off.
You're so preaching.
I'll say 31.
You're preaching to the choir. I'm 34 and in YouTube years, that's like wheel me around in a fucking wheelchair, dude. It's crazy.
I was listening to one of the podcasts the other day and I didn't know who was who really because I'm kind of getting up to speed on it. And I'm like, I thought you were saying you were 34. And I was like, oh, shit, he's not a kid.
Because I was fucking taking over the podcast, which I sometimes do. And you're probably like, is he the host?
I think spring break and whether you're too old to go.
Oh, to Arizona State. Yeah.
That was specifically an age-based conversation where Mike fell in the
trap. We didn't go, by the way.
Oh,
we didn't go.
We determined it sounded like you had the pass to go, though.
We always, listen, I get the pass to go to all those kind of parties. And yeah. I still do. I go and I hang out with fucking 21 kids and they fuck with me. You know, so it's like, it's not a problem, but it's like, yo, the problem is me trying to keep up.
Here's why. You lead the pack. Here's why it works. Mike's got the wisdom and experience of like a 45-year-old.
Yeah.
But he's got the demeanor and attention span of a 12-year-old.
Oh, okay. So true.
Balance
and out. I love it because I'm like kind of similar, but with less of a gap.
Yeah, between the two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your workout, you're
crazy in shape. You run through the mountains, you're doing frozen trail runs. Don't you run like 90 miles a day?
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I just like feeling like I've done something every day, put in work every day, and running gives me that feeling. So I hate, you know, everybody has these goals and wants to be the best version of themselves. Some days, how do you quantify that? I just know when I run, I'm like, well, I did something. You know, I feel good about that. So that's my go-to, basically.
I love what you just said. I've always said, if there's like a day where I'm feeling lazy or whatever, if I don't do anything except work out, it was a good day.
Right, exactly.
Check mark.
Exactly.
I don't need to go to bed feeling like a lazy piece of shit.
And I hate, and luckily you've been doing actual shit every day because you have not been fucking working out.
Well, because I've been sick, guy. I've been sick,
but
guy.
You've been
I'm
using
on
that excuse
cycling.
For like the past like 6 months.
Well, I got influenza. I got diagnosed with influenza. I got the flu.
So,
guy.
Hey, so tell me about this fighting thing. So, what's your goal? What's your, because I didn't you, what were we trying to do? A pay per view with, was it Conor McGregor? Did I see that? Or
so,
was that?
So, there was a point where I was like, yeah, I'd fight McGregor. And, like, by the way, I would fight McGregor. I'd also probably die. No problem. But, this YouTuber called me out in a fight. His name is KSI. We fought boxing match. It was a draw. Yeah. I'm a much better boxer than him. He was in much better shape than me. And it was my
endurance,
first time.
Endurance.
Yeah. Out, huh? Yeah. So, and then.
Hey, McGregor gets gassed out too.
I know. He did that last fight bad, dude.
Well, no, even against Diaz, you see when he's, on the second fight, he knew what happened in the first fight because he got gassed out and just like, God, choke me, get me out of here.
Yeah.
And then on the second fight, he wouldn't engage. He'd be like, no, I'm going to take a little break because he knows his body.
In interviews, he now admits that he's got this hump where at like the maybe 60% of the way through, mm-hmm. he'll in his mind, he's at the bottom of a mountain mm-hmm. and he knows the mountain ahead mm-hmm. and he has trouble getting over it. But I've wrestled my whole high school.
I think your dad told me
that. Yeah. So to be honest, man, my goal, I want a fucking UFC fight. Dana White, where you at? Like, I want one UFC fight before I die.
Yeah.
Put me in the fucking octagon.
CM Punk got in there.
What's good?
Well, that's who he wants to fight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think
he won't do it. One
of the people.
He's not going to do it.
But the other problem now, it's not a problem, but the other situation we face is, why do we have to go to UFC? You know what I'm saying? Like he just does shit himself now
Mayweather fight the kid and whatever. It was an
exhibition match in Japan, I believe. Yeah.
But I mean, his channels rival the views that come from movies, from UFC.
Here's what
credibility. Yeah, sure.
But
sure.
Like also what MMA fighter is because we got to find the perfect guy. He can't be like a championship contender. He'll kill me.
Yeah.
We got to find a dude with the right amount of clout. So it's like actually worth it for me to like risk my face and
but
brain.
Somebody that's on the decline a little bit.
Yeah.
We got to find some like sort of like maybe Ja Rule, bro. Like I feel like Ja Rule.
we had Woodley on recently. And we put quite a bit of money on that guy, dude. He was quite sure.
Before the fight?
He was not sure. He was positive. He said, mm-hmm. listen, man, like put your fucking house on it, dude. Mm-hmm. Like basically like I'm going to kill Calamari Jones or whatever you fucking called the dude. And we went in there, man. And
I know.
We dropped 20K on Tyron.
But you know what? The thing is you have to have that attitude as a fighter.
Always.
You have to believe you're the baddest man on the earth.
Yeah.
I should have known that. Every fighter says that.
Yeah.
He went into his fight with the same fucking attitude.
Yeah.
I should have known.
But
also, I've seen him fight, dude.
Yeah.
And the Tyron I saw in the past was not the Tyron I saw against.
I don't know what happened. I was at that fight and it's just.
We were too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were supposed to meet up or something.
That's right.
Oh, shit. You were there in Vegas?
Yeah. Yeah. Where were you guys sitting?
Front row.
Front row, opposite end of where the fighters enter. opposite side.
Oh, that's kind of where I was.
Well, we missed an opportunity. We suck.
So did you see Rogan?
I did.
Yeah, he was over to our left.
Oh, so I was sitting right there.
Okay.
We were in the area of the dude that got in the fight after
Colby
Make America Great Again hat. He was like five rows over from us getting in an argument with
the Ram,
So Gurley was next to us. We were literally sitting with Gurley.
Oh, I was looking because there was one guy with Gurley that just kept flipping.
He wouldn't shut up.
He's like over. And I'm like, okay,
we get it.
You don't like him.
Yeah.
You've established that with 100
flip offs. Yeah.
Anyway,
hey, I want to touch on this quickly too. You, speaking of the running, and you talk about it as something that you accomplish daily and it makes you feel good. You talk about it similarly as something that you're doing because if it makes you feel good to have gotten it done. Can you talk a little bit about how it makes you feel mentally? Because we talked a little bit about mental illness and, I personally, and I think a lot of other people have dealt with anxiety or whatever in their life. And when I exercise, there's nothing that does more for my mental well-being or physical well-being, obviously, than working out. Do you feel the same kind of mental effects?
Yeah. You know, it keeps me healthy, just literally, but also mentally too. And it's just, I feel like, you know, the gift of life it's amazing. It is amazing. I feel like I have a greater appreciation for the gift of life because I hunt. So I'm out there. I know what's at stake. I know life can end. I mean, not just with people dying, but taking life of an animal. It grounds you. So for my life, I feel like I need to exercise. I need to honor what I have and to be, as I said, be the best version of myself. Like last week we went to the Grand Canyon. We stood at the rim. And it was amazing to me to be able to, we went from the south rim to the north rim back to the south on Saturday, and that's 44 miles. And it's just to be able to do that, I feel like is honoring just this gift of life.
Yeah.
And so that's what it means to me. And when I can't expect everybody to do that because people have different priorities and different things are important to them. But for me, yeah, it's the key. It's the key.
Yeah. I saw that trail that you were running on. That was the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
How do you not roll your ankles? There were, I'm not kidding. There was crazy amount of rocks up and down hills. And don't you do it with a girl?
Yeah. Courtney. She's one of the best in the world. She actually had the American record.
She a runner?
Yeah, man. She's a beast. Yeah. She had the American
record. Are you guys dating?
No.
Oh,
no.
Just running friends?
Yeah. We just run. She's married. I'm married. It's all good. But it's hard to, it's hard to find somebody who can do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean, man.
Yeah.
I don't know who's willing to do shit like this.
Yeah, right. So that,
this is crazy.
Yeah.
To even just hike it, let alone
it. I would be snapping so many ankles.
You ever done
all we got is fucking Runyon, and that's hard enough.
Yeah. That's a good run. I
love Runyon.
I like getting up there to the, you run past like the observatory and then up to
I'm gonna be honest with you, man.
That's Griffith.
Oh, Griffith. Yeah,
that's Griffith. Runyon is the one that's got the really sweeping views of the city. I mean, they kind of both do, but Runyon also can get you behind the Hollywood sign, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I've run from the observatory over to the sign.
Oh yeah.
So I prefer to just like walk kind of slowly with like a cute girl with like spandex or something. You know, I am the runs.
I know. I saw somebody yesterday. I was running with my son and there's a couple sitting by the, on a park bench and looking at the river. And I told my son, I'm like, that looks awful. That looks the worst day ever.
They are thinking the same thing about what you're doing. Every time.
I just want to get out there grind. And some people want to look at the river. So maybe you're halfway in between.
It depends where I'm at in my life. If I'm training and I'm eating healthy and my lifestyle is like on point and I'm going to bed at 11 p.m., bro. Yeah. If I see someone getting like a Hershey's bar at the gas station, I'm like, what the fuck is
this guy doing?
Yeah. You ain't going anywhere with your life. And then when I'm that guy ordering the Hershey's bar, I'm like, man, this is so chill. I don't have to work hard. I don't have to do anything.
You see somebody run by and you're like, fuck those guys. Suck.
Well, you know, I mean, don't you think though with your goal of, you said you want to fight UFC or fight somebody. Don't you think that, I mean, that's grinding. That's the key to it.
I'm obsessed with it. If I get sick, like my health pretty much dictates everything I do. If I'm healthy, I cannot be stopped. Mm-hmm. I literally can't be stopped until I get unhealthy. Okay. As long as I'm not sick, man,
you need
8 a.m. to midnight. And I just have this thing where I always get fucking sick.
KSI is gonna send
you need
a girl at you. That's got a cold right before the next fight, and that's gonna be your weakness, bro. Because he knows you're weak for girls and spandex hiking.
I'm not.
And he knows you're gonna get sick, bro. Before the fight.
It's quite the opposite. I'm so strong when it comes to girls. I did have a girl tell me once.
Oh.
She said, "This is kind of like she." I actually wrote it in my notes because it was really funny.
This better be good.
It was actually last night.
So the note is right up at the top.
Said, you're actually really weird and turning me off more than anyone in my life.
Oh. Well.
What kind of statement is that, dude? Why would she say that? By the way, I met.
Where do you go from there? So what are you just like, no, that's me, or I need to make some changes?
No. I'm good to go, man. When I'm healthy, like I'm cruising.
So without you are really weird because you're sick?
No, I'm just weird, dude. Like I was just
I met this girl, dude. He also is I feel like he kind of has a good way of like almost adjusting his personality to right side or to right fit the personality
right,
of the,
yeah.
and not changing himself, but this girl is fucking weird, bro.
Yeah, but like she's hot?
Hollywood.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It's a trap. If I'm intrigued, I'll stick around.
Yeah.
I'm exterior sort of fades away from me. And intrigue doesn't always mean the best thing. Like,
right.
If she's fucking weird.
Yeah.
He wants to figure
some little quirk.
Out.
I want to figure. I want to get inside her brain.
Okay.
And by the way, she's very,
I'm glad you added brain to
sexually inclined. Like she's like a very like ferocious kind of sexual person. And so I'm sure. She's a weird one.
We're talking about some running, right? It's running. It's gotta be bad for your
knees.
Do you
ever do the West Rim Walk?
What? Say it again.
The West Rim Walk on the Grand Canyon. It's that glass that goes over the side.
Oh, I haven't. No, I haven't. But you know, so the Grand Canyon, you know, like 12 people die there every year.
How? Falling?
Falling.
Yeah.
So you go like there's where we started the day before. I don't know where the first picture was. Like right there.
Is this one?
No, the group, the four people down below. That's where people take pictures. People take pictures and fall off and die.
It's so weird. Like why do you do? Because they do that at Machu Picchu too.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of stories recently about the people going for the jumping selfie. You ever see? Or a jumping pic.
Yeah, yeah.
And they jump and the husband takes the picture and then the newlywed wife falls off the side of the fucking cliff.
Yeah.
That's natural selection. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No disrespect, but if you fall off the side of a cliff trying to take a picture.
I went to the Grand Canyon once and I pulled this shit.
That's you?
Like, that should have been me.
And if you had gone over, I'm sorry, bro. I love you, but dude, I would have been like.
Yeah, but sick picture.
Yeah, dope great picture. Pick, dude.
A lot of likes.
And his brother too, Greg, hanging off the side of the fucking dam.
Do you remember that?
Video of him hanging over the dam? Like, if one of them would have fallen, it would have been like the kid in the Flat Earth movie said, that's just the end of my story.
Yeah, well, that's just the end of my life. So, yeah, my brother. Fucking, I got hit with an ad. My brother.
Use Groupon at all?
No. Oh, is that what this? Oh, yeah, no.
This took the internet by storm a little bit. Yeah. Actually,
what is it?
Actually,
is this
don't
you?
Know. No, this is my bro.
Oh.
Oh, check it.
Oh.
This was way back when, but.
Like, come on.
Like what?
Yeah.
And that's it. Just for this little stupid shot. Paul falls. That's it. Like what?
I know.
Are you good, guy?
And people do that all the time. But then also fall.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like.
I stopped.
So what happens is I think people, you know how, and I was young too, but you think you're invincible.
Yeah.
You think, no, I'm good. What's the worst that could probably happen? Possibly happen.
What's the worst that could happen?
You die.
Yeah, I mean,
you die.
I guess falling from the edge of the dam and imploding upon impact. You know, another thing that happens at the Grand Canyon that people don't hear about a lot is I think it's also one of the highest helicopter crash areas. And I'm not talking about a ton
probably
of them.
Probably because the wind, right?
It's the upwind from the canyon. And so I've done the flight into the canyon.
Have
and
you?
I didn't know at the time, but it's fucking terrifying, dude. They fly you right into the canyon and land you.
How amazing is it? I've never been
there.
It's
absolutely stunning.
It's just to be there and to be able to, like I said, run it and be in the bottom of it and come out on the other top. It's just like, man.
Do you see that horseshoe? That's living.
Yeah, that's life.
See the horseshoe? There's like that with the river where the river horseshoes through the
I didn't see that.
I don't know. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Is running bad for your knees? I have bad knees.
People ask that all the time. They ask me like all sorts of crazy stuff, like foot strike. Are you a heel striker or toe striker? How do you breathe? I don't know.
But you're supposed to be.
I just run.
You're supposed to be a toe striker, yeah? I mean, heel strike has got to be. Yeah.
I don't know. But people ask about how do you keep your knees healthy?
Don't go to Cameron Haynes for the answer.
No. Just genetics, I guess.
You know where I will go for the answer. Bow hunting.
Yeah,
I understand you've brought me a gift.
I did. Let's check this thing out.
Unbelievable!
Holy shit! Yeah.
Cameron Haynes has brought me a compound bow.
I know.
And arrows.
We're gonna shoot that bad boy.
So I want to splice it into the podcast. It's sort of like a YouTube video, but
this you got is targets,
a,
yeah?
Yeah, yeah. No, we have a target sent, but yeah, this is a Hoyt RX3 carbon, and Jesus. This is my signature series right here.
So let's go.
See where it says keep hammering up on the limb right here?
Oh, this is tight. Wow. That's your slogan. Yeah, keep hammering? Yeah,
keep hammering.
That's awesome. I need you to sign this, and I want to put this on the set next to all the weird props we have.
Yeah, we're going to shoot that thing, though.
That's incredible.
I definitely want to do that. I did have a question for you. 1 to 10, how good are you? How accurate are you?
What are you going to have me do?
Hey.
Oh, you're looking at him like an apple off his head?
No.
God, dude, please do not
shoot an apple off Andre's head. No, I kind of want to, let's just do it.
Yeah. Can you hit this?
Heck yeah, I can hit that.
The pecan?
Yeah, I'm going
to
hit it.
Okay, the pecan is taped to the center of the target.
All right, so through the studio.
Yeah.
Through the heart of the pecan.
Talk about working hard to get a nut.
Oh! There you go. Focus.
Be the pecan.
Be the pecan. Holy shit!
Did we smoke it?
I think you smoked the pecan, guys.
Damn!
You nicked a corner of the pecan.
You want to go back further?
Sure. What are you, crazy?
No way.
That's tight.
Cam, don't you think this is a little outrageous?
What in the fuck? You can't even see the target from here.
Dude, this is crazy. There's wires and cameras and stands and stickers.
There's a lot of shit in the way.
Yeah, man.
But it's just electronics.
No big deal.
Who cares? Stay there.
Right. Holy shit! Oh my God!
25 yards.
Bro, you just threaded the needle.
Bruh.
There's a pecan.
Cut
in half.
Oh my God.
Yo, that is crazy.
Yeah, that'd be a good one, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be good for a clip, right?
You really did it. Dang.
Talk about getting a nut.
That was incredible. Dang. I think this goes without saying, but you were the first person to ever shoot a pecan from 30 yards away through my garage, all the equipment, the setup impulsive.
Past the cameras.
Like Cameron Haynes, you've done it. Damn. Look at this.
Thanks. That was fun.
You've split the nut.
Yeah. Yeah, we were trying to find a lifesaver, but this is our stand-in. It was a pecan, yeah.
We're a health house.
That was absolutely incredible. I want to know what you guys think of the cutaways, the audience. Give me feedback, because we might do some more like show-based stuff, but I want to keep it podcasty. But
yeah,
yo, thank you for that. I do want to go outside and shoot these with you for real. I don't trust myself doing that exact shot. So Cameron Haynes, thank you for coming on Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world.
It's been fun being here and talking to you guys about what I love. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Of course, man. Where can they find you on social media?
Instagram. It's just Cameron R. Haynes. Tight. And Cameron Haynes on Facebook. But yeah, pretty much just Instagram.
Tight. Keep hammering. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a audio only Q&A with Cameron Haynes right now. Right. Spotify and iTunes. Hit up that audio. We freaking love you. Watch the Flat Earth documentary. Now on YouTube. We want to know what you think. We'll see you next time. Take it easy, fam. Peace. All right, we're here. Audio Q&A. So funny. You look at the set right now. There's just bows, arrows, targets, and a pecan split in half.
Yeah.
All right, listen, man. So you're 51.
Yeah.
Still working out. You're still going hard.
Still grinding.
When are you not going to be able to grind? When does the grind stop because of physical attributes, man, or the lack thereof?
No, I feel I'm in better shape now than I've ever been. When I was 23, I'm way better than when I was 23.
That's kind of good.
I see that vein popping out of your bicep.
Yeah,
that's fucking dope.
Do you have a head or neck vein when you get mad? Mike has his neck goes crazy.
I've had a few angry moments.
Oh really?
Today was calm, man. I think you I think your running, your daily running probably keeps you hella calm, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, why get worked up, right? Yeah. I mean, it's all good. So it's, yeah, I mean, I feel good. I feel like I can do this forever. So podcast, see what happens.
Podcast, actually, no.
And running.
You said you don't like podcasts, right?
I don't really. I mean, I'd been asked to be on a lot of podcasts and I hadn't done any for a couple of years. And it's just like, I've told my story. I'm like, it's not that crazy or exciting. So I'm like,
I feel you.
Ours is a little different.
Yeah.
We don't like all just the bland shit. We fuck around a lot.
Right. The reason why I did this one or was excited to do it is because it's a whole, it was like me at 23, I needed some direction. I was, you know, I wasn't accomplishing anything. I didn't have a good job. I had I didn't have any direction. So bow hunting gave me something to work towards. And, you know, I was an athlete in high school and then I wasn't. And it's like, what am I doing? So bow hunting gave me something to train, to do, to work towards, and to just channel in a positive direction. So I figured with the people that listen to you, if maybe they're like me and, you know, don't really know where they're going, maybe they can get a bow and get into archery.
Yeah.
And it is, it's to be able to shoot like that shot that we had, you have to be so focused. Like there's no distractions. There's no social media thing. There's no, how many likes did I get?
Yeah.
There's no anybody talking about me. It's just like, no, all I'm focusing on is that arrow going right here. And so there's nothing else that matters. That can help people. That kind of singular focus can be healthy, really.
I feel like for people that are, like, driven away or kind of like pushed away from the hunting because of its impact on like animals for whatever reason or whatever, you know, thoughts they've had their whole life, they probably could get into just archery itself. I used to do archery as a kid. It was so fucking
fun.
Archery is awesome.
Yeah. And that's what Rogan does too. He loves just going out in his backyard and just shooting arrows every morning because it's just how he just, you know, get centered.
Basically. I want to do that bad, bro.
Shoot arrows every morning. Backyard, I want to chop wood. I'm not gonna lie. I know, seriously, my dad is always outside chopping wood. But Dad, how do you get the fucking logs? Where do you get like wood to chop? Eventually you run out. I mean, you get them from your yard.
Right.
But where am I gonna get?
If you're like a rich like LA person, you just have them brought in.
Can I bring in logs? I want to chop wood in Montana for the rest of my life.
Call local tree guys and be like, hey man.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Shit, yeah. We just had the fucking guys next door for.
So what are you going to do with the wood, though? I mean, people chop wood to burn it.
You're right. We would make fires. We got four fireplaces.
Fireplaces. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. There's nothing.
We should use those.
Let's
more.
Do it.
You know, I noticed that about you, actually, when I was doing some research. I was watching the way you shoot. And I told my dad, I was like, there is so much focus. You take your time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You take your time. It's like it's like a 6-7 second hold.
Yeah.
Is it because, what are you doing? Are you lining up the shot?
Yeah.
Are you wobbling a little bit for the right moment when you?
Yeah. It's like 9 seconds. And so it's not just pull back and shoot. You know, I mean, there's precision with it. Like, especially to hit the pecan like we were doing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't really get distracted by the cameras and the computers and the cords.
Yeah.
You have to see a tunnel, focus on the exact small, the aim small, miss small. Is something people talk about. If you just aim at this whole target, that's where people screw up. If you aim at exactly where you want to hit and you're focused on that and the tunnel vision and everything else is relaxed, deep breaths, just almost like yoga, and then just relax through the shot, that's how you get insanely accurate.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it takes time. It's not just pull back your bow and fire. Yeah.
Is there anything else that you think that's like comparable in life in terms of like level of focus?
Probably. I don't, you know, I'm not, I do what I do. I know what I'm good at and
you stay in your fucking lane.
I pretty much do. It's just, I know what I like. And so it's just like, I know this, but maybe I know Joe talks about jujitsu, his training that probably gives same type of, yoga probably helps people out with that being centered. So for me it's archery.
What's your favorite game to eat or favorite like meat to eat?
Oh, that's a great question.
Elk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we just got some today. My chef just got some from the butcher.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking, because I seriously think wild game, I mean, the stuff we buy is who knows what, but I eat wild game animals I kill and it touches my hands, goes in my freezer, goes in my body. I don't even remember the last time I was sick. I mean, I haven't had a cold in 10 years.
My vegan friends would tell you the same thing.
Based on the opposite side of things.
Oh, really?
Based on not eating meat and not eating dairy.
But you were saying you'd been sick. And so I'm just
like. Oh, it's bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's in, yeah. So maybe, I don't know. Eating clean, I think.
It makes sense.
Well, by the way, they both could be right. It could just be both of you getting non-GMO sourced material. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but I just know for me personally, I don't get sick.
I don't know if I've had elk. I don't know. Venison growing up was like a staple.
I mean, deer is amazing too.
It's
like
my favorite meat. Maybe elk can compete, but to this day, venison. She's cooked elk. What did I say about it? Okay. For some reason, the venison, I mean, I'm sure I liked it, but for some reason, venison is like by far my favorite meat.
How gamey will you get? Have you had crocodile? Have you had snake? Like that kind of stuff?
Yeah. When I was in Africa, we had crocodile. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. A guy there, I didn't kill one, but a guy did. And
when I was in Louisiana, I didn't even go to Africa. They gave me crocodile.
Alligator.
Alligator.
Yeah.
There's this jerky spot that I go to on the East Coast sometimes, and they have every kind of they have python jerky. Mm-hmm. They have everything you could ever imagine. I didn't try it, but I can imagine it's python probably pretty jerky. Interesting shit.
Yeah. I haven't had snake. Yeah. I haven't. I've had a lot of other things though. I mean, but my favorite is moose is right up there too. Moose is great meat. Mm-hmm. So, but moose and elk.
Yo, we kind of skipped over this, and it's not like crazy important. I just feel like it's interesting. Like, it's kind of fucked up. You know, we talk about the cougar and attacking the guy.
Yeah.
You think it's messed up that like I want a cougar to attack me?
I want like a sweet bear like across your chest.
Oh my god, I would kill for that.
Holy shit, what happened? I'm like, oh. This? Oh, bear.
Just a bear.
Bear attacked me.
A claw.
Yeah.
Across the chest.
Yeah, but it's hard to get the wild animal to know, okay, here's all I'm looking for.
And I'm going to need you to stop. As soon as you hit that,
stay away from the face. You know, stay away from the genitals.
They don't get it. They don't get it.
Yeah, yeah. So, but no, I hear you.
Man, if I just got one little claw. And by the way, I'm not aiming to like kill the cougar. I just like, man, whoo. I would go toe to toe with a cougar.
Well, you've done a little bit of it. You wrestled a bear.
I did wrestle a bear.
Did you?
Yeah. That's why I asked you, like, didn't I read an article where like you braced once for, or you did say how you, if a bear did attack you, what would happen?
Yeah, that was,
what was the plan? The right arm in the mouth and the left arm stab?
No, left arm in the mouth, right arm under the armpit.
Is that just to give them something to chew on?
Just to occupy their mouth.
Okay.
Basically. So you sacrifice an arm
as opposed to a neck or
boom. So who knows if it'd work, but all I know is if I get a sweet scar, I'm not going to need shirts.
It's worth it. Yeah.
Fuck shirts. Imagine how much money you'd save.
I'll never need another shirt.
Except Maverick by Logan Paul, of course.
No, yeah. I'd have one of those.
He would just get Keep Hammering tattooed on him. And
yeah. Then it's covered.
Is that the same kind of thinking as like if a police canine, like they always stick the one arm out?
I think so.
It's the same kind of ideation.
I didn't think about it, but yeah. I mean.
I think a lot of people that suffer from bear attacks try and make a mistake of, oh, I'm going to fight off the bear. Like, no, I think what you've said makes sense. Like, you're losing a limb, honey child.
Well, I thought
sacrifice the arm for the greater good of your life.
I thought the common practice is, isn't bears play dead?
Are you crazy?
It is. I'm telling you, it is.
So what they say, and who knows?
Because there's different ones for different animals. Some animals.
For a black bear, you can fight it off.
Small, a black bear, of course.
For a grizzly, they say you're never going to be able to fight it off, so play dead. That's just kind of like an old wives' tale.
And what, he'll maybe paw at you for a second? Because I don't care who you are, you're not taking down a grizzly.
Hold on, what about running? They run like 30 miles an hour.
No, they're fast as fuck. You're
done. But what if you're weaving in between trees, Todd Gurley type?
No, that's their lane, dog.
And,
no.
Boop, 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 and boop, yo, it's crazy too, because like some people be like, just climb a tree.
Oh my God.
That's the worst thing you could do.
Like a tree, maybe 3 feet in diameter, no branches, just go almost as fast as you can run on flat ground. They can go up a tree
like
that.
Like Wolverine almost.
Yeah,
with
no branches, they're so strong.
Something else about bears. I don't know if you know this, and I learned this when I was wrestling. The trainer told me that the bear, each digit can grip just like a human finger. Mm-hmm. They don't have a thumb per se, but each individual claw can grab you like a hand and secure you, really? Lock you in place. Yeah, when I was wrestling it, we were both on the ground and I was behind it for this one move, and it pinched. They also don't have like their hips are crazy flexible. I don't know. They lack like some bone where their hips are crazy flexible. Okay. And it pinched its legs together and locked my foot in place. Mm. Terrifying.
Oh man.
You're immobile.
Yeah.
You can't do anything about an 800-pound Kodiak locking your legs shut.
I think your best bet right now for your career, if you're going to fight an animal, would be a kangaroo. Because you see a lot of that. Have you ever seen a kangaroo try to attack someone's like dog or something? Did you ever see that one video that you boxed it?
Yeah.
They're ferocious.
They're nasty too,
they're
though.
Nasty fox, dude.
Any wild animal, we are so soft.
Humans,
our skin's soft. Yeah. Our muscles are soft compared to them. They have like an elk hide or a buffalo hide. That shit is stout.
Yeah.
Our skin is, that's why we have to wear clothes, shields, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, we're not made for that. Yeah. We outsmart them. We're never going to be able to outfight them.
Big facts, man. The wild, well, you said it, I think it's so true. The wild is ruthless.
Oh yeah. It's ruthless. Brutal. People don't understand. They watch too much Disney is really what happens. And they see the bears that you know, people have humanized bears and they see them on commercials. But a bear in real life.
You just sing to it, bear necessities. And
that's why the revenant's important.
A bear in real life is brutal. I mean, a bear, like a male bear will kill cubs. It's called infanticide. So they'll kill cubs so the female will come back and so he can breed her. So
what a dipshit.
No, they'll kill another male's cubs so he can pass on his genetics. So
yo, that's fucked.
And there's been bears that have been killed, and for whatever reason, the hunter couldn't get in there until the next morning to get them. Maybe they killed it at dark. They come in, the bear is eaten. Other bears ate it.
They're cannibals.
Yeah. So it's just like people, you want to talk about,
woo.
I mean, humans and animals, you can't say like the whole squirrel thing is like, just like, no, these things, it's a whole different set of rules.
I was trying to be respectful with the squirrel argument with the vegan.
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, bro, like I am superior to a squirrel.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, like it's interesting because you sit with people of extreme views.
Yeah.
And they do make good points. He has some good points. I, by the way, I will sit here and listen and hear him all day.
Yeah.
But I don't have to agree with it at the end. No. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, they're not equal. I mean, if animals were equal. So my dog at home watches me open the door every day, thousands of times. Still sit there and be like, man, I wish this door was open. It's like, you fucking watched me open it a million times. So a human, they'd be like, hey, I'm going to, you know, do a little problem solving. How can I get this door open?
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, I don't see any podcasts for animals, you know? I mean,
not yet. Hey, maybe there's a lane there.
quick question on the vegan side. If one of your hunting reasons, call it for meat, were subtracted from the equation from a necessity standpoint. So we talked to him a lot about lab grown meat.
Oh,
if meat started to be grown in labs and it became, let's say, like pretty adopted, would you potentially, like, is there any one thing that could get you to stop hunting?
I'm a hunter.
Yeah.
I mean, man has always hunted since the beginning of time. Yeah. So that's why people who haven't hunted their whole life, like Rogan, he was like, you know, in LA, he's kind of on this fence about hunting for a long time. Didn't really know. And then, but once you get going down that road, it comes back like that, because that's what we do. That's man. Man hunts.
I'm surprised he hadn't hunted.
Yeah.
He seems he posts elk on his Instagram. Well, like,
yeah. But I now mean, he had now, but that, but like you probably were, 10 years old, who knows what, but back then, you know,
I was watching Joe Rogan, Fear Factor, Joe Rogan.
Right. Yeah. So he wasn't hunting then.
Yeah.
And before that he was on, I think it was called News Radio, it was a sitcom. Mm. And so he was an actor, you know how the lifestyle was here. It's just, you know, you're not
shit
hunting.
Just gets brought to you on a plate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not hunting. So, but the thing is now that he's back into it, it's just like, couldn't imagine any other way, because it's in our genetics.
Yeah.
It's what we do. It's what man does.
I'm actually surprised he doesn't honestly get fried more.
He does.
I don't know how he's sort of immunized.
We talk about this from time to time. He very much owns his approach to things. I think people that attack Joe or attack people that are in that kind of lane are they realize quick, because listen, a lot of people spend that time attacking other people because they know it elicits a response. Mm-hmm. And so after a certain amount of time attacking people, when they never say I'm sorry, they yeah. never even acknowledge the fact that you're pissed off and they just do another show.
Yeah.
At some point, people are like, all right, okay. let me go pick on Logan getting, because at least he's going to put an apology out when he fucks up. You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
Well, and part of it also is, so you got to think of Joe's audience. His audience, they're drawn to him because he's open-minded. You know, so they come yeah. and they're listening, and he's got these scientists and he's got these porn stars and he's got these hunters. And they're all, so people are listening and they might have some preconceived notions, but Joe doesn't. So Joe will see. So if you're there and you're tuning in, you automatically have a little more open mind because yeah. that's what you're getting every yeah. day. So even if you don't agree with it, you're going to listen because that's the crowd. That's who he's talking to.
Do you, awesome. Do you draw the line anywhere? What's your thoughts on Mr. Alex Jones?
Oh God, he's insane.
We got him coming on in two weeks.
He's about. Insane. I was, you know, he was talking a lot of shit about Joe. And as I thought that maybe he was doing that because, you know, he got kicked off a lot of his platforms. So yeah. it's like, how can you make money if you can't get your message out? So I thought, you know what a lot of guys do if they want attention, they call out somebody who's famous. You know what I mean? And so,
oh, I see. Yeah.
So that's how he got his name in the news. Yeah. Like he was saying he was going to beat up Joe Rogan. He was saying for a while he said something like Joe was a racist, and it's just like, come on. So he's trying to get something that'll stick, something yeah. that's going to stick to that wall and people yeah. will latch onto.
Hey, it worked.
He went at Shapiro a lot too.
Right. So it's just, I thought it was just a way to get a platform, and then Joe had him back on, and he's crazy enough where, I mean, because I listened to it and I'm just like, God, for like 3 minutes, I'm like, this guy is actually pretty damn smart. And then for 10, then for 10 minutes, I'm like, holy shit, he's lost it.
Yeah.
But there's enough glimpses of something going on that you're like, you want to listen. And then, yeah. then it's like watching a train wreck. And then, you know, Joe, then they're getting high on top of it. And then, you know, Joe can just... he asked good questions. And so it just makes for 5 hours. And then he had Eddie Bravo, Mr. Conspiracy.
Oh, incredible. God.
Original flat earther. Yep. And so that dynamic, that was number one in, I think, trending out of everything.
Yeah, it was incredible.
And I'll speak for myself. I'm open-minded too. To a degree
yeah.
and to a limit. And so when he comes on, mm-hmm. if he says anything about crisis actors at Sandy Hook.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I'm going to lose my fucking shit. Like that. I'll pull a bicep just as fast as him. Trust me, dude. I don't play that shit,
Those people lost kids. It's just like, talk about something else. It's almost like Trump. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Fucking leave McCain alone. You can talk about whatever. Yeah. But just like the Sandy Hook, it's just like, don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not, you got to be better than that.
Yeah.
Big facts. That's a realm you don't venture.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. I want to go shoot these bows.
Yeah.
And I want to see if the elk's ready for me to consume. shout out Chef Katie.
Yeah.
Cameron Haynes, thank you again.
All right.
Really appreciate you. Thank you guys for listening. Hit that subscribe button, download the podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Keep hammering.
Take it easy.
Keep hammering.
Peace.
3 traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.